WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Deirdre Murray is one of the very few cellists in jazz, and she plays with some of today's most adventurous jazz composers, like Henry Threadgill, David Murray, and Mujal Richard Abrams. She also composes, produces, and leads several ensembles with bassist Fred Hopkins. Murray plays on Mujal Richard Abrams' new album, Haringa Suite.
Part is segments of other people's music, and what I'm actually doing is chorusing what other musicians are doing, so that it takes what they do takes on a different quality. It's very interesting what he did. A lot of the music didn't have a contrapunt line or a different line. It was just something that saxophonist did, or this person did, or that person did, and I doing it in unison with them. But when you put the two together, it sounds a different way.
Mm-hmm. Abrams also wrote a cadenza for you, or you're improvising it. I'm not sure which.
Improvised.
Okay. So that's totally improvised,
sure.
The cadenza?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what you did with it?
I really can't, because I haven't heard it. That's about a year ago. I've seen a few people in the street, and they say, that's a really... I've been hanging out with Fred Hopkins, and they say, Fred, that's a really great bass solo you played. And I said, is there a bass solo? And he said, Deirdre, that's what you did. So that's all I can answer. What I was trying to do was something very different than what the other people did. What I do musically is based on sound rather than running patterns, although, of course, I run patterns. And what I was trying to do is get as far away from what anybody else did as I could, and I think the nature of the instrument would allow me to do that.
Think there are so few cellists in jazz? Is it something inherently involved with the instrument? Is the instrument particularly hard to play in a jazz setting, or is that another reason?
I just think that basically, that's a very big question. I think it's class issues. I think that in general, the more middle class you are, the more you tend to have start playing those instruments, especially for black people earlier. If you're in, talented in music and you're a kid, and you're a black kid, what's likely to happen is you're going to play piano or maybe even clarinet in a marching band or something else. You're not likely to play something where you're going to play in a string quartet, because it might socially not come up.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get to play cello?
I wanted to be a violinist, and I was watching those, I can't remember the movie, but it's an old Betty Davis movie. My mother used to work in a post office at night, and I said, Ma, I have to do this thing. I got to play this violin. And my mother was a dancer, so what she said to me was, you can play something that looks like that, but nothing squeaking high. So instead of me playing the violin, she says, cello, that's nice and low. That won't keep me awake in the daytime while she was sleeping. So when it was a New York public school system, I was probably 10, and instead of asking for a violin, which is what I really wanted, they gave me a cello.
And you took to it right away?
Yeah, immediately.
You played in a couple of symphonies, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
How long? How old were you?
19, 20, someplace in there.
Mm-hmm. Was it hard as a black cellist to get a chair in the symphonies?
No. What really, my problem in the symphony was that it wasn't my kind of... a groove. I mean, I hated wearing black dresses.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was that basic. I was always nervous. It wasn't the music. It was the I was always used to being free spirit, and I could not stand to be restrained. I could not stand bear to play a melody the same way twice. So, therefore, I never fit. And also, I used to have great stage fright. Anything that, you know, I could play everything at home, and as soon as I got in front of people in terms of classical music, I would totally freeze up. I mean, great. It was, like, almost phobic. I had a great phobia. But that was because it was against my nature to repeat anything.
So when you started playing jazz, did the phobia go away?
Well, yes. I never repeat. I mean, that's the idea. It's the reason I love jazz beyond, you know, obvious reasons, that it's totally expressive to the individual self. I mean, you never have to do anything the same way twice. Although, if I want to, I can.
When you started playing jazz, was it hard to get bands that would accept you because you were a cellist and not a bassist?
No, because I always had my own band.
Oh, that's always one way of getting around it.
Well, yeah, well, I didn't know what I was doing was weird until I was like 22 or 23 years old. I really didn't know because I was always insulated. You know, I played with my cousin, I had a girl cousin. We had our own bands, and we made records, and we ran around the country. I didn't know, you know, it's you know, you're talking about the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know that what I was doing was unique until I was about 23, 24. And then by the time I was 30, I found out that was really unique.
Did being a woman ever stand in your way at all?
I think that it stood most in my way because the lifestyle, especially even now, but 10, 15 years ago, is not, what's the word, amenable to the way I was raised. Basically, you know, I'm very, what's the word, studious. And basically all I do is play the music and then I leave. So therefore hanging out, carousing and all that stuff was never my bag. So I think that the way I was raised and go with how it is. So, and also, that's why I'm saying that by the time I became 30, I realized what I was doing was uniquely weird, because then it was how many bands, you know, by the time you're 30, if you've been playing long enough, people have to take you seriously, but then they don't want to because there is really no serious cello tradition in jazz, and that men were having, you know, serious problems with it.
How do those problems get expressed to you?
You can't play. Something that basic, I know you can't play the blues. What are you doing here? Or I'll be in a band. Everybody in the band gets reviewed except for me. Or you get a review. People say that, oh, she must be somebody's girlfriend. Or they, if you are running a band or you're running a session, I was running a session as a producer for somebody's record that I won't talk about. And when all the musicians, I had hired all the musicians, but they thought I was a secretary. And when all the musicians came in, they kept looking for the producer, and they shook everybody's hand. And they kept looking. I watched them look. I said, well, here I am, guys. You know. So that's how it's expressed.
Since there is no cello tradition in jazz, when you started playing jazz a lot, did you miss having anyone to base your sound on or to base your part on?
Well, I based my sound off of basically bassists and saxophonist like Eric Dolphy.
Mm-hmm.
And because there is no cello tradition, nobody told me that was weird either. You have to realize, in other words, whatever came in my mind, my imagination to do, I just did it. Because no one could tell me it was wrong to do, because I didn't have a teacher. I had a cello teacher, but I didn't have a teacher in jazz. So I learned just from experience. If I heard something that Eric Dolphy did, I would take it and try to do it. It would come out differently on cello, but the concept, the ideology from which it sprung, is what I would do.
On Henry Threadgill's records, you play cello and Fred Hopkins plays bass.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Fred Hopkins have been working together in your own band now. So
yeah.
I guess you've really been liking working together and the sound mm-hmm. that you get together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you been learning a lot about the differences between cello and bass by playing together?
No, because I already knew it.
I
always knew. It's,
okay.
What the thing I like about Fred is that he is so confident that as a bass player, he doesn't feel that I'm trying to take away his function. A lot of bass players feel, you know, used to feel that I was, you know, stepping on their toes, but actually I was fulfilling this other function. But Fred, you know, has no problem with that. We'll do a phrase, and he'll play the first half, and I'll play the second half, you know, naturally, without any music, because we actually hear it that way.
So do some people still think that a cello can't swing, so to speak?
Sure. I think a lot of people still think that.
Yeah.
They might think that I can swing, but cello cannot.
And you want to prove otherwise?
Yeah, I just want to put that to rest forever. Amen. And I want to do something that's recorded that puts that to rest so no one ever talks about that ever again.
Well, Deirdre Murray, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot.
Cellist Deirdre Murray. Here's Murray playing a walking cello line with Fred Hopkins on bass from Henry Threadgill's latest album, Rag, Bush, and All. This is Fresh Air.